A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
What do you do when your plans are not happening fast enough?
Stop it.
And they are not happening in the timeline you assigned for yourself?
God can do the suddenly, but sometimes you have to be still before the suddenly occurs.
Yeah, just because you want something doesn't mean you're prepared for it.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean you can handle it when it comes.
If you have a financial goal, for example, you can't just say, I believe I'm going to be a millionaire. That's nice. That's cute. The belief is great. But where's the substance? Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
And we're all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about patience, how to cultivate patience and hope whilst you're waiting for the things that you want to come to you, whether it be a job, a relationship, whatever, an opportunity, whilst you're just waiting for your plans to manifest.
Just holding still.
How do you be patient?
Wow.
Yeah, man. Ooh. Well, welcome to another episode. Any housekeeping announcements this week?
I guess we're doing this in advance, so I just want to say a massive thank you to all of the sisters that came out for the fourth event, Step Forth. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, sisters, for your support. The event was sold out, which is, you know, customary in TMS. Yeah. It's becoming, you know, a little thing a pattern, you know, a culture, if you will.
Yeah.
So we just want to say a massive thank you to everybody that showed up for that class. We also want to say a massive thank you to Forth, headed by Abimbola. Thank you, sis. Shout out to an actual TMS sister that, you know, decided, yeah, let's get together and do something amazing for the community. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your vision. Thank you for teaming up with us. Thank you for undoubtedly creating a fun time. Yeah. I know me, child, I got two left feet when it comes to that step aerobics, but we're going to give it a go.
It's going to be a good time.
Thank you so, so much. Also, a massive thank you to all of you guys that were not able to come but are still supporting the Bright Future Academy. You still have an opportunity to continue to support us. Thank you. You are blessed, everybody that has already given. We are so appreciative. But we are in that next phase of making sure that the school is in tip-top shape, but also making sure that we have all the resources that we need to steward and maintain the school well. So we'll also be keeping this in our description if you want to support by continuing to donate. We are powering through, we are continuing, we are very much still in the building phase, and we appreciate you so, so much for your support. But yeah, please continue to support. If you are listening to this and you are absolutely heartbroken that you couldn't attend the event, don't worry, more will come. But in the meantime, please continue to support your sisters in doing this incredible work.
Absolutely. I'm sure it would have been a great time. It's actually tomorrow for us, but yesterday for you if you're listening to this on a Sunday. So yeah, any other housekeeping? It is actually my birthday week now. It is actually my birthday week. Saturday is my birthday.
Breaking news.
I am very, very happy. Welcome to May. Happy new month. And yeah, my birthday is this Saturday. I'm turning 27 and I feel very good about it.
Hashtag CDB month.
But also, I launched a new podcast this week on my YouTube channel. Shout out to all the girls who were like, we're looking forward to you coming back to YouTube and like wanting to support. I really, really, really appreciate it. And the response has actually been so beautiful.
Encouragement.
So yes, my new podcast, Be Encouraged, is out on my YouTube channel. Please check it out. I hope it does actually encourage you. It does prepare you to like just live a life of boldness, happiness, peace, and all of the above with wisdom every day. But yeah, good conversations over there as well. So if you want to check that out, then check that out.
Go ahead and go over there to be encouraged, man.
Why not?
Be encouraged.
More me in your week.
Come on now.
But yeah, apart from that, I don't think there's anything major that we need to really announce.
Nothing.
Cool. So we will get into the ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Let's get into it. Hi, ladies. Hey. Thank you for the work you do in healing and growing sisterhoods.
Oh, thanks,
I'm seeking babes. Advice regarding the state of my longest friendship. I've known her for 14 years, mm-hmm. but our close relationship developed over the last 6 years.
Okay.
We've supported each other through various life events, from university to new jobs, transitions, relationship breakups, mm-hmm. and even my relocation abroad. While she has always had a broader network of friends compared to my smaller circle, mm-hmm. this has never been an issue in our dynamic. For example, she has a friend, X, who has known her practically her whole life. Mm-hmm. She also has other friends who have become acquaintances over time, but the situation I'm about to discuss involves X.
Okay.
Last year, I returned home for a visit after being abroad for 3 years. My friend picked me up from the airport so we could spend a couple of days together before I headed home. Overall, everything seemed fine, but I began to realize that she viewed me as the money friend.
Oh.
I've always been there for her financially, whether it's providing loans or helping with monetary gifts, mm-hmm. given her family's dependence on her. However, we've previously discussed money and its mm-hmm. place in our friendship, so I didn't see it as an issue. Mm-hmm. During my stay at her house, she only organized meals once mm-hmm. on the first day I arrived. On subsequent days, when I suggested going out for lunch or ordering in, it seemed like we wouldn't eat anything if I didn't make the plans. On the third day, she had only eggs and tea for dinner. Throughout my visit, she asked me to buy various items for her, from shoes to household items, and even pay for her hair and nails. While I was initially willing to help out, during a conversation, she essentially labeled me as her quote-unquote money friend.
Wow.
She expressed how she valued our adult friendship because it was easy, how she could reconnect with X after not speaking for months and it would be a conversation for hours on end, and how she could ask me for money without any hesitation and I would always come through.
Wow.
As it turns out, weeks after I left the country, X was planning an event. Sophie hadn't informed me about it until the day of the event, when she texted me to lend X money because she had exceeded her budget.
Wow.
This incident further solidified the idea that I am seen as the quote unquote money friend. Mm. Previously, we would have discussed details such as the dress design, nail color, and hairstyle for the event, but she only reached out to ask for money on the day of the event.
Wow.
I feel that our relationship dynamic may have shifted, mm-mm. which is disheartening, especially since I haven't made many new friends abroad. It seems like to her I am now just the money friend. Mm. What do I do?
Oh, baby, you gotta... Okay, don't wrap it up just yet. There's things that need to be expressed. That's outrageous.
Yeah, very
absolutely
crazy.
Outrageous.
Very, very crazy.
First of all, super sorry that you've gone through this experience. It's never nice when you come to the realization that people are abusing what you have or what you bring to the table, especially when you've been quite open and quite giving with your resources. I know that's something that we often encourage on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like when you are in a circumstance where there's, you know, some kind of disparity between you, to be giving, you know, in the same way that you'd be happy to receive.
Yeah.
And God bless you for being so giving and having a giving heart. That's such a beautiful thing. And I hope that this experience doesn't make you reel back on that or pull back on your propensity to give. However, you've now come to the realization that there's a massive problem here.
Mm.
As you were speaking, Courtney, I was just thinking, not sugar baby, not sugar daddy, was it sugar friend?
Sugar friend.
This is the this is the first instance I've Lord. Ever heard of a sugar friend, like, or a sugar sister, SS. It is absolutely not your responsibility to constantly provide in the friendship.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely abhorrent that you are the money friend.
Yeah.
And I think it's abhorrent that she only interacts with you when she needs something. And in this case, it's money. But of course, in other, you know, friendships, we typically think of it as being like emotional labor or something else that our friend is taking from us. But this being material resources is extremely problematic, and probably a bit more problematic because it's so materialistic. So I think you need to have a dead straight and dead serious conversation where you tell her, this is inappropriate. Mm. I cannot stand for this anymore. I'm very hurt by the fact that you only seem to interact with me or, you know, value our friendship as it pertains to how much I can provide for you financially.
Yeah.
And I think she definitely crossed the line in terms of asking you for money on the day for somebody else, another friend.
After not inviting you to the event. It's very wild.
Not inviting you to the event. So you are paying for some... That is the level of disrespect. So you need to immediately, whether it's a FaceTime, I know that you live abroad now, whether it's a FaceTime or a call, preferably a FaceTime where you can actually see each other. I don't know if you can, you guys can, I don't know if she can fly over to you. It sounds like since sis doesn't have any care, she can't fly over to you. You need to talk immediately. Lay those boundaries, tell her that she's hurt you and that for the future, or you know, for the time being, you will not be providing her with any money. She needs to do a lot of work to repair the damage to your friendship. That is crazy. Your hair, nails, are you two together? That's crazy. Even if you were together, I mean, even in a romantic relationship where some of us may have more inclinations or more expectations around how money flows, that would still be wild. So I think you need to have a conversation with her straight up and say, sis, you've been disrespecting me, Matt, and I'm very upset about this, and there's work that needs to be done to repair our friendship. I think sometimes we can also rest on the fact that our friend, we've been friends for a long time, right? And it's amazing that you two have been able to have a some kind of relationship at least for the last 14 years, but that is no excuse to become complacent. Friendship is something that you have to consistently work on. You can't rest or fall back on money or rest or fall back on familiarity. Familiarity is one of the biggest killers of relationships because you forget to honor the relationship. You forget to honor the person. All of a sudden, they're condensed to or reduced to this idea that you have of them. And unfortunately, you've been condensed or reduced to this person that provides money. The money friend. The fact she even opened her mouth to and be saying that you're the money friend. Oh my goodness, that's outrageous. At least have a little bit of shame.
No shame.
So yeah, please, please, please have the conversation with her. Cut the tie up the purse strings. No money is flowing in that direction whatsoever, but she needs to make it up to you. And it doesn't necessarily need to be financially making it up to you, but she needs to actually come correct as a friend. What has she actually done for you beyond kind of be around you and take up your money? Like, really think about it. Has she provided any kind of emotional support? Has she provided any kind of fun? Especially the fact that you came to her house as a guest. What do you mean eggs and tea?
Wild.
That's outrageous. And I think it was also the lack of like communication and being upfront. Like, if you are, if I'm broke or if I'm tight on money, I will tell my friend, look, I would love to host you, but just so that you know, I don't have any money. If I did, I would absolutely be hosting you well. But the fact that it was you that was constantly suggesting, hey, maybe we should get some food, something that people should have when they're staying over with you, I think it's abhorrent. I don't even think she should have hosted you. If the only thing you have in your house is eggs and tea, you should not be hosting anybody. You should be thinking about your finances. You should be thinking about how to get your money. Because that's outrageous. How can you invite somebody over to stay with you? Your friend of 14 years. You couldn't even get small chops. Anyways, let me calm down. Sis, go talk to your friend. Tell her that she's violated your boundaries. Tell her that she is not appreciating you as a friend. And unfortunately, you do need to be prepared that some distance may have to occur between you two to repair this bond. Because it's one thing to tell somebody, okay, you violated my boundaries, but because this seems to be repeated behavior, and because of the nature of her dynamics with her friend X, for example, I would say, I'm not trying to write her off, but I'm just saying, don't come with like high expectations, especially because of the way that she's treated you, but the way that she's labeled you as a money friend. Have some grace, but don't come with like mad expectations that, you know, things will change immediately. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah,
I ain't happy about this, man. This is real bad.
I think it's a really bad situation. I think this whole situation reeks of entitlement. Your friend is extremely entitled to your finances. And I think this is something you have to nip in the bud very, very quickly and really be clear about the fact that it makes you feel violated. I think for somebody to take advantage of your kindness and your generosity, it can really make you feel devalued as a person and devalued as a friend. That you are so much more to this person, or you should be anyway, than just the financial aspect of what it is you can bring to the table and provide. And I think it's extremely, extremely rude and shameful for somebody to come to your house and for you to not say anything, like, not like you said, not give that disclaimer of, listen, we have fallen on hard economic times. I eat egg and tea for dinner. If you want to join me, you are more than welcome, but whilst you are here, you may have to buy your own food. I think letting somebody know that, like, you may have to, I can't cover both of us, is one thing, or you know what, let's combine our money, buy some groceries, make ends meet how right. we can, make some dishes at home. But for there to be this entitlement that like, yo, I'm not gonna eat until you also buy food for yourself, and I'm just gonna ask you to also put some in there for me. Yeah, I think your friend needs to, one, consider how they were trained as a child.
Real rap. Real
this is rap. Reeking off no home training.
Ha.
But also I think you now have to sit down and be very clear and honest with her that you did not appreciate how a lot of this stuff went down. Mm. You being a guest at her house, you not being invited to her friend's event, then being called to give money for some kind of, you know, last minute need. It just reeks of entitlement. But you, sis, need to become confident in saying no. Mm. I know that this is a long-term friendship. 14 years is not a small feat. But for somebody to make you do stuff that you're uncomfortable with, you need to start honoring your own boundaries. You need to start saying no. Like, I don't have this money for you. I'm not going to give you money again. And if she gets upset with that, it lets you know exactly where you stand in terms of friendship with her and what she actually values with you. And I think one thing you need to take mind off is, yes, it's sad that you've moved abroad and now you don't have that many friends, and the few friends that you have, well, this one main friend that you have, is acting up. But does this person really want to be your friend?
Yeah.
Is this a friendship that's actually benefiting you, or are you holding on to, like you mentioned, familiarity? Just because it's familiar doesn't mean it's healthy. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like this relationship or this friendship is actually healthy. Now, obviously, there's only so much you can encapsulate in an email. And so it could be that there are so many other great things happening in the friendship. You know, you went and stayed at her house and you guys were kikiing over old memories and gisting, and the vibe is great, but the money aspect is where it falls short. But I would say really weigh up, what are the pros and cons of this friendship? Am I just holding on to it because, like I said, it feels familiar, or is this actually something I want to preserve because it is a beautiful friendship apart from this one aspect? Like, this is the one red flag. And I think if your friend has showed you kindness in other ways, like maybe, like you said, there's been emotional support there or whatever, then you can be like, okay, she loves me enough to realize that she's doing me wrong and I'm uncomfortable with it, and maybe she's just become a bit too familiar or reliant on my yeses, and so she's become used to that. And so now we can move forward in her getting used to my no's and knowing not to ask me such inappropriate things and amounts of money. Or it could be that this woman actually isn't my friend outside of the financial aspect of things, and so if she kicks up a fuss like, you know, you're my money friend and you're my money friend only, so you not giving me money means that how can you be my friend? Then you know exactly where you stand. You know that this isn't a friendship that you're meant to be fighting for. And as much as it's uncomfortable to make new friends, especially when you move to, say, a new country or a new city, it's something you're just going to have to do.
Right.
Because staying in this situation ain't it. Maybe start strengthening your friendships with other acquaintances and other people, you know, back home who were your friend but just maybe wasn't your best friend. But there are people out there who will love you. There'll be people out there who will respect your boundaries. And this friend sounds like they are violating your boundaries, and it could be because you haven't expressed them before. But I think it's worth really going in now and being like, yo, I refuse to remain uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I need you to know that what you're doing I am not happy with. And then see how she reacts from there, and really weigh up, do you want to save this friendship or not? Because it doesn't sound like you do, and it could be out of frustration, of course, but girl, consider it. Not every friendship, just because it's been, you know, decades, is worth actually fighting for.
Right.
Sometimes a season has come to an end, and if that person doesn't want to grow and evolve in adulthood and being a grown woman, what can you do? You can't be best friends with a child.
You can't,
just because you were childhood friends.
Oh, that's so, a word for somebody, boy.
Boom. So yeah, wishing you all the best, sis. I know it's uncomfortable, but put your purse away, please.
Yeah,
put your purse away.
Tie it up. Yeah, because put it
it's
away.
Actually, and also, the economy is too tight.
Do you know what
for
I
you
mean?
To actually have a dependent? This is a financial dependent. Hair somebody coming to you, and it's just a whole bunch of entitlement for unexpressed expectations. How is it that you're assuming that I will give you money for your hair and your nails? Do you not have parents?
Real rap.
Do you not have a job?
Real rap.
Why are you asking me for money?
Real rap. I will even help you with your CV.
And there are some people who, not to say your friend is jobless, but it's giving jobless energy. There are some people who remain in their situation 100%. Or their circumstance because they know there are people that will bail them out. Until they find that nobody will bail them out, that's when, you know, there's fire under their belly. Like, she needs to get a job.
Upon all the hours she was talking to X, she couldn't ask her for money. So both of you are just jobless there yourself.
Yeah, because she said that's her friend that she laughs with about childhood memories.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Both of you should stay there. Exactly. Both of you should stay there. Nah, that's outrageous.
Yeah. So, sis, we are sorry you went through this, but no one should go through this. So draw the line. Draw the line.
Zip up your piss.
Please, 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 please. Stop it. Anywhoozy, if you want to send us a dilemma, you already know the deal. Send it to dilemmas@twomysisters.com. Shoot us an email and we'll get around to it. Whee! So into today's episode, talking about cultivating patience. Yeah. The reason why I wanted to talk about this is obviously we've been talking about, you know, purpose, plans, getting in alignment with God. But of course, this is a sisterhood of ambitious babes.
Yeah, hello now.
Ambitious babes. And so we all have things that we want and hope for our life as well. Mm-hmm. And I think having goals is a beautiful thing.
It is.
It's necessary. Wonderful. You know, it helps us to know that we are growing and glowing. However, what do you do when your plans are not happening fast enough?
Stop it.
And they are not happening in the timeline you assigned for yourself, especially. I think as the sisterhood is growing older, you know, we've been in this game for three and a half years now. But a lot of us have transitioned into that later part of our 20s. Obviously, we just recently turned 27. I'm actually 26, just putting that out there.
Yeah.
But
young and still, you know.
I'm young, I'm fresh, I'm hip.
Yep.
But yeah, even that though, late 20s essentially. And now you're getting to that stage where, you know, when you're a kid and you're this is a lot of context for a simple question, but like, you know, when you're a kid and you're making your plans, it's like 25 I'll be married, I'm gonna buy a house and I'm gonna have kids, and you really underestimate how young those ages are. I guess young is relative, but then you get there and you're like, where are all the things I planned?
What do you mean kids?
You know, and I have so many friends around me who are like, oh my God, it still feels like if I got pregnant now, it's giving teenage pregnancy.
Right.
And I'm like, but we are grown.
Geriatric, in fact, allegedly. Past our prime.
Past our prime. God forbid, our primes are ahead of
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
But how does one cultivate patience
when
it also feels like you're tapping your watch and saying, God, when?
Hello.
God, when?
Got your eye open as you're praying. Like, you know? God, in your own timing.
But now.
But ideally, it would be now.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Fun fact, my middle names actually mean patience is beautiful.
Oh, it's because you're Igbo.
I know.
Because patience had to be in your name somewhere.
It
had to be in your name somewhere.
If it wasn't patience, it was God. One of my other middle names means God is near.
Oh, amen.
So my name literally means God is near and patience is beautiful.
Oh, lovely.
Anywho, fantastic question.
Yeah.
I think that it's funny you mention how our time perception changes as we get older, because when we are young, because we have less responsibilities, less things to do, like we're just
jobless.
Young, just jobless.
Jobless,
of course,
young and jobless.
Of course we want all of these things now. We're not doing anything. We don't pay rent. We're drinking
milk.
We
don't know what any of this means.
Do you know what I mean? Like even, I want to be able to buy my first takeaway. That was a big goal for me when I was
young. Do you know what I was thinking about the other day? It's so funny you brought that, How a lot of us, when we got our first jobs, that money just went on food.
Food.
Literally just to be able to buy your own takeaway in your own house. That was baller energy. Yeah,
big baller. No. It's a necessary tangent though. Like, it just goes to show how the nature of the goals that we have also changes, right?
Yeah.
So when you're a kid and using the takeaway as an example, you're like, yeah, I want to get my first takeaway. And then you make enough money to get your first takeaway. And then you're like, oh, I want to get another one. And you get it and you realize this isn't what I envisaged.
Yeah.
This tasted great. This is wonderful. But there's so many strings and things that are attached to me achieving this goal.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of us going through this process of adulthood and for us entering into our late 20s, some of the goals that we had for ourselves and that we were hurrying into, we've now realized that they come with strings attached.
Facts.
Which means that understanding what patience does for us, it creates endurance.
Yeah.
And endurance is important because that facilitates character.
Facts.
And character is what will enable us to deal with the strings that are attached.
Good.
So I think patience and developing patience is so, so important because in this life, we need endurance. And the older we get, the more that we realize this life is long. I think sometimes when you're young and you don't have as many responsibilities or you have all of these like major, major goals, it can seem as though, you know, you're in such a rush to heap up that responsibility, right, to get those goals without realizing that, ah, once you get those goals, that's not the apex of the mountain. Midway point of the mountain. The apex of the mountain is actually death, when you've finished everything.
Facts. That's the end.
I'm sorry to get
morbid.
That's
the real climax.
The real climax is you die. You know, it is finished. You know, that's the end of the story. And I think as we get older, we realize, our timelines will need to extend because life really is a journey. It's not a destination. It truly is a journey. And it profits a man or a woman to be able to facilitate and grow the endurance to keep up that journey, because life is long and life is hard. So I think patience is necessary because it builds endurance, which facilitates character, but it also enables us to have endurance to finish the journey and finish it strong. I think that when journeying, I think this is actually the perfect time, because I'm currently training for the Hackney 5K and switching from, listen, 5K is not even that long. I'm out here acting like I'm training for a marathon. It's really not that deep.
But I think it's the longest you've ran.
Consistently. But the learnings from training for that, training and switching from something that's a bit more high intensity to something that's more endurance related, you realize just how much you have to change, how much you have to modify yourself, how much things have to shift before you see things like, before you have a breakthrough, right? And I think it's actually important to build up patience so that you have the capacity to build up your breakthrough. It's not just going to occur. Things actually have to break before the breakthrough. And I think going through that process of running is hard when you don't do it consistently. And it comes to a point where it gets easier, but initially it's hard. And I think some of us, we call things into existence or ask God for certain things, but we aren't thinking about the things that will have to change in our life to make space for it. And I think patience is important because it makes space for that. It gives us time to make space for the things that we've called into our life. Traditional things that we often think about, right? Like, the relationship. I want to be in a relationship with a person. Do you know that when you are in a committed relationship with a person, things have to reorient in your life to make space for that person? And as nice as it is that we have this idea of being married or being committed, being in covenant, covenant requires space. And many of us, especially in this time and in this age, we actually don't have space. And this is not to say that, you know, you have to go on an arduous or very, very long process. For some, they do. Others, they don't. But it does require you to actually spend time making space in your life for that person or for that thing. Or, for example, when you're waiting for the job, you really want a job, whatever. Even the process of preparing for a job requires space. You have to think about putting hours into making sure that your CV is good, the interview process, making sure you're going through that process of knowing which company do I want to work with or what do I want to do next. And then when you get the job, you might have been unemployed before. You now have to create space within your diary to be able to have time to fulfill that job. So I think that patience is important, and we need to embrace patience a lot more, because it actually gives us the capacity that we need to be able to not just maintain, but actually create space for the things that we want in our lives, but also maintain it for the long haul. And I think patience is just a really good trait to have in general, because this life is hard, and not everything that you want will come immediately. And as much as it's very unfortunate, because I do think that sometimes social media can have a very big part to play in managing our expectations, right? As to what is expected at particular times. And I think it does go to show how much we are impacted by our surroundings, and how much the opening up of our communities and opening up of our worlds, how much that has impacted and very much shortened our expectations around timelines. Every time we see somebody online that has, you know, God bless them for the things that they're achieving, but every time that we see somebody achieving a major milestone, there's that little voice inside for some of us that tells us, well, what about me? This person got married, or, you know, the stories of like, oh, I met this person, within 5 months we were engaged, within 2 months we were married. God, what about me? You know, I went on a date with this guy and it didn't work out. I'm like, God, I've been in this situationship for 2 years. But if you are in a situationship right now, Lord, we just liberate those people in the name of Jesus. Get out. They're like, hey, you know, things are not happening for me. Or, you know, that person that was able to buy their house at 21 and you're like, hey, God, I'm 35 and I'm still renting. Or, you know, that person that's got their dream job at like 24 and you're like on the cusp cusp of 30 having a midlife crisis because you think that you haven't arrived yet. Patience also puts into perspective that our journeys are different. Lives are different. Don't think that because it's happening very suddenly for somebody that it has to happen suddenly for you. And I'll land the plane here. It's funny that we're talking about like patience and this idea of like timing and all that kind of stuff, because I know in a previous podcast episode, I was talking a lot about like timelines and how much I really feel like within my faith journey, God has really been speaking to me about timelines. There was one note that I made in my notes literally yesterday, which is God can do the suddenly, but sometimes you have to be still before the suddenly occurs. Yeah. And I think that for a lot of people, in embracing patience, in embracing stillness, in embracing that opportunity for God to really deal with you and work with you, that's when the suddenly will happen. Absolutely. Because there's some people that, for example, they will get to like 35 and they haven't been dating somebody or like, you know, going for the job or whatever, and suddenly things will come into alignment. Facts. Immediately. They get married, they get the job, they get like all the things that they were hoping for, but it felt like whilst they were in the wilderness in that journey, they were waiting for a long time. That's good. In comparison to what they've now achieved and the life that is ahead of them, that was a very short like waiting period. So I think it's also having faith that the patience is doing something, but understanding that the suddenness that you are waiting for can still happen. It just might happen after a bout of stillness.
Yes.
I've said a lot there.
But no, you dropped absolute game. It was so valuable. I completely hear and agree with everything that you were saying. I think you're right. Things can happen suddenly. It doesn't mean they have to happen immediately.
Right.
It doesn't mean they will happen straight away. And I think a lot of us have an issue with the gap.
Yeah.
We have an issue with the waiting period. And I love that you illustrated that actually it's in the waiting period that we cultivate our character, we cultivate our endurance, that we really come to terms with what it is we are signing ourselves up for. And I think a lot of us need to contend with the idea of just because you want something doesn't mean you're prepared for it.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean you can handle it when it comes, right? Mm-hmm. And so allowing that to kind of be a training season, and also for you sometimes to see it less glamorized. I think what I was describing around that, like childhood dreams and stuff, it's because it all felt so glamorous. Yeah. Like we didn't know that owning a house came with a mortgage.
Child.
Do you know what I mean? And like fixed interest rates interest rates that could then fluctuate. We didn't know it came with that. Do you get what I mean? Or like we didn't know that having a partner also then came with dealing with somebody else's emotional burden. Like we didn't see the behind the scenes of that part.
Eating your food.
You know, or how much it costs to actually have kids. Like, we didn't know that. Or like how much it costs to actually travel. We didn't know that. We didn't know how much you actually had to work to make money.
Do you
get what I mean? Gosh. Like this figure on the screen, like, you know, when you used to go to Argos?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, it's just $9.99. And your mom would look at you like, do you know what it takes to make $9.99? We don't. Like, we actually don't. We just have that uncle that dashes you £10 and you think £10 appears from anywhere.
We didn't even know that we were taxed.
Big facts, you know? And then you get to your last £10 in adulthood and you think, wow, is this life? So I think it's the glamorization of a lot of it as well. I think we're coming to terms with the older you get, the more you realize that like all that glitters was not gold.
Not at all.
And also it takes a lot of mining to get to gold, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of time and a lot of wisdom. And so I think.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
appreciating that actually life is really a journey. As cliche as it sounds, life is really a journey. Life does take you putting one foot in front of the other. And then the more you are diligent with that, that you then look up and you are where it is that you need to be.
Yep.
But when you were taking the steps, it just felt long. It just felt repetitive. And I think that leads us, having a lack of patience leads us to often go on a lot of detours because we're trying to get there quicker. Right? We're trying to cut corners. But actually when you cut corners, you find that you're walking around in circles all the time. Mm-hmm. And so really allowing ourselves to walk that straight path, which does feel long, but ultimately is the fastest route to get to where we want to be in the safest way as well. Yeah. Because a lot of us, you know, trying to make that relationship happen, we've kissed many frogs and they stayed frogs. They didn't turn to princes, you know? So let's be guided with our decision making. Because I think lack of patience really does impact your decision making.
100%.
When you are making decisions out of fear, when you're making decisions out of, I need to make this happen in my own way, according to my own plan, in my time frame, you end up living a life which actually may not be ideal for you because you weren't willing to wait for the thing that was worth the wait.
Mm.
You know, a lot of things that are not great for you come quickly. Yeah. They happen fast. That's, you know, true. A good old microwave dinner, that thing has so many additives. But then if someone gives you raw ingredients, it's like, it's going to take me 45 minutes to make this food. I don't want that. But it's better for you.
It is.
So I think it's deciding, do we want better or do we want quick?
Mm.
And that is a trade-off sometimes you have to make. Do I want better or do I want quick? And a lot of us want better.
Yep.
We want better than we've had or better than we saw our parents have. But that takes time.
It takes
and it's
time.
Okay to embrace it taking time. And I love that you talked about like almost that feeling of being a late bloomer or being behind your age mates, mm-hmm. and everyone is doing this. And I think when you are surrounded by friends who are doing amazing stuff, or your social media is filled with people who are excelling at their career or at their life, it's easy to lose perspective of the fact that one, that is not normal.
Yeah,
like not. That's actually why it's such an amazing feat.
Normal.
That is not normal. But also two, that's none of your business.
Yep.
And I think allowing ourselves to remember somebody's success, mm-hmm. or somebody's achievement or someone's acquirement doesn't actually take away from what is laid up for me, right? I just need to keep walking my path. If I don't get to the end of my race, I don't get my prize.
Right.
I'm not in competition with anybody. I just need to finish. And I think a lot of us are stopping ourselves from finishing well because we think, but I'm not going to finish first.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about finishing first, it's about finishing well.
Yep.
So really taking a step back and being like, okay, you've got that. I love that for you. And really being celebratory and using it as a source of inspiration, but not losing sight of the fact that I still have my race to run.
Yep.
I still have to finish my race. Mm-hmm. I still need to walk these steps out. And also, a lot of us kind of get jaded by like people achieving arbitrary things, which we may not even really want in the same form. Yep. So I think it's also assessing like, as we've been talking about throughout this whole season, why do you actually want the things you want? Just because other people have it, other people having it is not a good reason for you to want something. Like, oh, but all my friends have done this or they've all achieved. Okay, but does that mean it's for you? If they all jumped off a bridge, would you jump? Sometimes our parents were really saying big proverbs.
It's so funny that you get to like certain ages and you're like, you know what? You guys weren't as crazy
No,
as
they
seem.
Were
I
speaking facts. They were speaking facts. Because also, are you willing to take on the responsibility that has come with it?
This is the thing.
Some of us are not.
We're not.
And again, it comes down to that glamorization. Just because something looks nice or sounds nice doesn't necessarily mean it's a responsibility that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And adulthood is all about responsibility. Yes. So you have to really weigh up, what do I want to sign up for? And also, is there something in this season that I'm trying to rush out of that I actually need to be appreciating?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for example, being single, it comes with so many things that you can actually appreciate. Being child-free, it comes with so many things that you can actually appreciate before you enter into that new season.
Absolutely.
Where life completely changes and you actually can't reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
Being a teenager, it came with so many benefits, but because we were all longing for adulthood, maybe we didn't really soak up the benefit of being a dependent. Do you, that's why now this woman's friend is trying to live her teenage years through her friend.
She said, let me get my nails and hair done, sis. You got a little something for me.
Something for me. But yeah, it's like if you do not have patience in a season, you do not give yourself the beautiful opportunity to experience that season's benefits because you're running out of it so quickly that you didn't really take time to look at the scenery and appreciate it for what it is. Because once seasons change, the season has changed.
It's done.
That door is closed.
Close it up.
And it doesn't mean that, like, you know, responsibility doesn't come with any joys in itself. It does. Marriage are beautiful things, kids, beautiful things, having a house, beautiful things, traveling, beautiful things. But the season that you're in now may have other beautiful things that those seasons just cannot give you. They can't give you the same amount of freedom. They can't give you the same amount of selfishness. They can't give you the same amount of time to spend with your friends, like whatever it is. Or maybe you might not have the same opportunity to study the way you can now. And so as much as studying feels laborious, you're going to get into a stage where you get your dream career and you can't say, I'm going to take a year out to go do my master's or I'm going to go, you know, learn about my field in a different country. Like, there are so many opportunities you need to seize now, and impatience will make you blind to seeing the opportunity. But then the question becomes, what is the difference between being patient and just being idle, as in like lazy, right? Because a lot of people will pray, you know, or they will say, write down their goal, they've got their vision board, you get what I mean, and now it's a waiting game. And it's like,
waiting.
You looking at this vision board is actually not what's going to make things align in your life. Nor is you just releasing the prayer.
That's the problem. There's many a prayer. There's many a women's conference.
Do you get what I mean? It's like, in Jesus' name, I will get. I hope you're waking up early tomorrow to pursue your demand.
And Courtney, you've even started to answer the question. Pursuit. The difference between patience and idleness is pursuit. You have you have envisaged.
Come on.
You know in the Bible where it says, you know, you write a vision and make it plain so that he may run.
That means
once you have created the vision, once you have written the vision, there's something that you have to do to activate it, which is to run. You gotta go. You can't just write it and hope for the best. You can't just affirm. You can't affirm something that is not there. You have to start planting the seed. It's like expecting a harvest and doing no work throughout the winter. You will have no fruit.
Facts.
By the time it comes to summertime and everybody is chopping, you will have no fruit.
Barren
because
land.
You haven't done the work.
Barrenness.
Let us, we were even having this conversation around work. Work is hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But work is necessary.
Facts.
And whilst you're here in this life, sister, you have to work.
It's a reality.
You have to
It work. Is a reality.
You must.
It is a reality. I'm
so yeah,
sorry.
Literally, genuinely pursue. You have to pursue that which you care about. You have to go towards. Like when I think of like a car, for example, if I'm trying to get to a specific destination, I don't just write it into, you know, a GPS or whatever and hope for the best. Yeah. I have to start the car and start driving towards it. So sisters, we need to start driving towards our goals.
Yeah.
I think it is one thing to be patient and still intentionally working towards the goals that we have. So for example, very obviously, if you want a particular career, there are certain things that you can be doing to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success, which means you can be, you know, learning more about your career online. You can be sharpening your CV. You can be speaking to people who are a little bit ahead of you. There's certain things that you can be doing to prepare yourself. I think another good word that you mentioned actually is prepare. You need to prepare. I think in some instances, we go a little bit wild, cough, cough. We're going to get to relationships in a second. No, because real rap is everyday. Like, if you want a relationship, you got to prepare to be a wife. You got to be the wife before. We'll get there in a second. But everything else, other goals that's that hilarious. We have, right? Pursuit and prepare. Prepare for them. If you want to, literally anything in this life, if you have a financial goal, for example, you can't just say, I believe I'm going to be a millionaire. That's nice. That's cute. The belief is great. But where's the substance? And if you don't have substance, you need to work to get the substance.
Facts.
Millionaires, though, listen, there has been many a millionaire that has started with seed, but they have been able to grow that into the million.
Facts.
So you need to start. And also start with what you have. Because I think sometimes we wait until we have a minimum amount, or we wait until we have a minimum circumstance, or we have some kind of ideal. It's not just a goal, but also an ideal starting point. Many of us are waiting for an ideal starting point or more ideal conditions to pursue our goals with full gusto. Start now. Do what you can with what you have. Don't despise small beginnings.
Facts.
The beginning will be small. Think about a tree. A tree starts with a tiny seed. Do you know what a tree can grow into? The kind of ecosystem that a tree can create and provide by virtue of growing.
Yeah.
And it takes so many years for that tree to really fully blossom, yeah. but it still blossoms. And when it does, wow, it commands the space.
Yeah.
So don't be thinking that I have to wait until I'm a plant or I have to wait until I'm fully grown in this area or I'm more mature to make a start on your dreams. Start now with your seed and do something that is actually intentional towards it every Facts. Single day. So if you want to be the millionaire, okay, cool. Maybe you don't have like, I don't know, 10K in the bank to start investing, but you have 100. Start what there. Can you do to flip the 100 to the 1,000? What can you do to flip the 1,000 to 10K? And then from there, and then it's building. It's literally a building. I think another word that's really important is building. The difference between patience and idleness is you're building. We actually need to build things as we are waiting, as we are patient, you know? Like, oftentimes I'm thinking of like building structures, right? You're not going to be able to build stuff on top of really rocky or shady foundations. Yeah. And I think when you're in a season of being patient or waiting upon something, the way that we can avoid idleness is making sure that our foundations are firm.
Mm.
Because you won't be able to rest things on top of foundations that don't have the necessary requirements or the structural components to be able to hold that hold steadfast.
Yeah.
So making sure that the foundations that you have for the things that you want have been set and set well. And then I think the last thing that I will say is making sure that you have accountability and community, because I think sometimes it's very easy for you to kind of be idle because you're left to your own devices. You are pursuing your goals. Here's my goal, my vision, like board and whatnot, and pursuing them. But sometimes you need somebody else to be able to say, are you really giving this all that you can possibly got. Yeah, exactly. Are you really giving this all that you've got? In the same way that you might, for example, get like a personal trainer for a season of time and you push a little bit harder because you've got somebody else, or you may get somebody who is like an expert in a particular area to really support you with like your job hunt, or for example, even in the area and domain of relationships, many of us think, oh yeah, we're pursuing relationships, but we haven't been outside in the last like 6 months. Who is going to find you in your room, sis?
Well,
are you being intentional about pursuits or at least strategic positioning? No, but a friend will be able to tell you and say, sis, you need to go outside, yeah. or we need to go to frequent these places, or let me even put you in touch with somebody that, you know, might be interesting that you can start dating. So I think it's really important to make sure that even as we are pursuing our goals or as we have articulated our goals, we also have a certain level of external accountability to enable us to avoid idleness avoid ourselves being sucked into this idea that we're working towards our goals when really, because we have no one else to tell us like sis and give us the tea, the real, that we're not doing anything, we stay in that place. So Absolutely. Having people around you or having some kind of accountability measures to draw out the best in us during that season of
Absolutely.
Patience.
I completely agree with that. And I think the key difference between you doing the work and also then trying to make it happen in your own strength or like just force it and not because of impatience is often one, are you actually committed to the process? Like a lot of us know that the manifestation of our dreams requires a lot of mundane steps and a lot of repetition and a lot of being diligent and just being patiently committed to actually doing the work we know we need to do. A lot of us know the plan. We know what's actually involved in us getting to what it is we want to be or where it is we want to go. But actually, we just don't want to do it. Like the whole, I know if I want to get a man, I need to step outside, but I don't want to go outside. And it's like, well, then do you really want it? You have to contend with whether you actually want this and whether you are willing to actually put in the work to get this. And that requires you saying yes to the discomfort of it all. Mm. I also think that laziness, you just sometimes have to hold yourself accountable because laziness is a very real thing. And a lot of people, It creeps on you very slowly. And I think you have to learn the distinction between laziness and rest. Mm. And I think that that's where accountability really does come in, where somebody can stand on the outside of your life and look in and be like, you know what, you actually have really been grinding hard this season. Rest and actively rest, like rest in a way that is you replenishing your mind, replenishing your body, replenishing your soul.
Yep.
But if it is that every day without the hard work, you haven't done anything because rest is a result of having worked hard, right? But without having done anything, you are in rest mode. Baby girl.
Get up.
I'm gonna need you to arise. Arise, I put to use the things you have. So I do think that allowing yourself to make that distinction is what will tell you whether you're taking the steps you need to get to where it is you want to go or not. Mm-hmm. But you have to remember that they really are steps. They are committed steps. I think another way you can tell that you're being idle is the frustration that is within you. Mm-hmm. Especially, this is where I think comparison and envy and all of those things kind of creep in. Mm-hmm. Because often what it's telling you is not just that, oh, you'll never get this thing, but actually you're frustrated that you don't have the results. Mm. But oftentimes you don't have the results because you haven't put in the work. And people do not display on social media the amount of work they are putting in to get their results, yeah, right? Exactly. A lot of times they do not show you the real grind and the early mornings and the late nights and the having to go here and study this and all of that. Like, even think about a degree. Everyone posts their picture of graduation, but no one is showing you them 3 a.m. evenings when they were popping Pro Plus, trying to make sure that they could stay up to revise.
Red Bull, they almost failed.
Do you know what I mean? Energy drinks, caffeine, all of that stuff. All of that stuff. No one shows you the grind, right? But they'll show you the graduation. And I think a lot of us want that. We're like, oh, I want the glory moment. I want the pinnacle. But actually, you have to be willing to put in the work and take the steps to get up that mountain. And because we don't see that, we can sometimes forget that it's not an easy process to success. Mm-hmm. Success doesn't happen very easily. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something we have to learn there as a generation, that actually there is no such thing as quick wealth. Yeah. You can enter into quick riches, but there is no such thing as quick wealth. And riches can easily be lost, but wealth is built. Wealth is handed down. Wealth is acquired. Mm-hmm. Wealth is something that is, it completely transforms your mindset as well as your, you know, your physical life.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of us want quick, but we don't want acquirement. We don't want that process of really learning and discerning and like doing the hard things. And so I think allowing yourself to remember that success doesn't happen quickly. Success oftentimes doesn't happen easily, but hard work doesn't have to be grueling and it doesn't have to be hard. It just needs to be diligent. It needs to be diligent. It needs to be committed. It needs to be consistent. And a lot of us don't want to do that. And that's how we find ourselves comparing or envious or whatever, because we're like, oh, why can't it just be me? Because maybe, girl, I'm sorry to say, you haven't put in the work.
Couldn't have been you.
You haven't put in the work. You actually have to position yourself for the things that you want. And positioning yourself could look like being in that company or being outside or having, you know, sowed your seeds in the ground so that when it rains, you actually have something that sprouts. And I love that you mentioned that, like, it requires continual tilling of the ground for your seeds to actually flourish. Just because you've put a seed in the ground, as in you said a prayer, you've put something on your vision board, or, you know, there's something in your heart that says, I want this thing, doesn't necessarily mean you're doing the work to cultivate the ground for this thing to actually grow.
Right.
And even when it starts growing, you cannot force its growth. It will grow in its own time. Mm-hmm. And there will be indicators as to whether it's growing. There'll be indicators as to whether you're becoming more confident. There'll be indicators as to whether you're becoming more smart, whether you're becoming better with your money. There are small indicators. The indicator may not be the tree that you're desiring, but it's an indicator that a tree is coming. It will actually happen, but you need to be okay with the indicators. But even when you see your indicators, you can't get complacent and stop watering your seed.
Necessary.
You need to keep watering it. You need to keep, you know, making sure there are no weeds around it, plucking them things out and just being like, I'm going to give this tree the best opportunity it needs to be able to actually grow. And so I think it's seeing your faith and seeing your ambition or plans or whatever as a continual effort. It's a continual effort, and whilst you are waiting, there's actually something to keep you occupied, because I think idleness at the end of the day just has you sitting down twiddling your thumbs thinking about, okay, when's it gonna be my turn? You're not in the waiting room of a doctor's surgery waiting to be seen by your destiny. That's not how it works. You're outside, you're working, you're on the ground, you're doing the things to cultivate your own garden. And so do that work, man. Do that work.
Get working. Put on your farmer's boots, man.
Please, please. And it's actually okay to be in that season as well of grinding. I think a lot of people don't like those silent seasons. They don't like those seasons of having to just put your head down and be diligent and maybe just not have anything to show, but you know that something is growing, right?
Exactly.
You may not have anything to show, but you have something that's being grown inside of you. And so remembering that sometimes them silent seasons, those grinding seasons are actually so necessary. no one else is going to be able to force you into doing show and tell with your life, because you actually need something to show. And that's how people be fabricating their life now, because they think it's by force to have something to show. It's not. Just let people know I'm growing something at the moment.
Honestly,
know? Something's bubbling in the back.
You ain't got to be a content creator when it comes to your life, you know.
You actually don't. I think
it's that we're falling into that trap of we constantly need to show something of our life to other people. These people don't matter. Go and listen to our last episode, our podcast, where we were talking about other people. Your life doesn't need to be a highlights reel to anybody but you and God. So live for that audience of one. Well, two, you know, yourself too, but live for the audience of one, because listen, at the end of the day, you'll make your plan, but you can establish a thing, but God will be looking at you like, yo, that's cute and all, but everything according to my timeline and my plan. So make sure that you have something to show the maker, Sha. Don't be thinking about all these other people that you have to show things to.
Facts. And I guess my last question is more so around for those who have lost hope.
Yeah.
Because I think there are some instances where you can wait for so long that you begin to think it's just not going to happen. So what is our encouragement and what is your encouragement for people who feel like, girls, I've been waiting. I've actually got this patience thing on lock.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that it feels like it's been for way too long.
Yeah. I think two things. I think first of all, it's acknowledging that certain things don't actually have to happen in your life for you to obtain joy and happiness. I think sometimes we can hook our sense of fulfillment and happiness on how much we can achieve a specific goal. Mm-hmm. And as much as these goals can be important in giving us a sense of fulfillment or a sense of movement or progression, none of these goals should have your entire lifeline contingent on them, right? So when we think about things like relationships in particular, because we are definitely getting to that age where quite a few of our age mates are like, you know what, I'm not finding anyone soon. And there's quite a few people that I know that are in their 30s or 40s or 50s and they've never been married. Mm-hmm. They haven't been in serious whatever relationships. And as much as it is unfortunate or saddening, it doesn't mean that your life has to stop or that your life's joy is contingent on your capabilities of being married to someone. I think sometimes that forces us to actually reframe our lives and think about the perspective with which we are seeing our value. Is our value now being attached to these goals? So I do think there is something to be said around like, okay, maybe it actually won't happen, and that's actually okay. Being okay with things not happening and knowing that life actually goes on, and actually surrounding yourself with other people that have a variety of life experiences can really add perspective. I think one thing that we've really benefited from in our lives is making sure that we are around different types of women.
Yeah.
There are women that we know that are single and thriving in their career well into their 50s. There are women that we know married very, very young and have like 6 kids. There are women that we know that live completely different lifestyles. There are women that we know that have gone through chronic illnesses for the majority of their adult life. All of these women are still experiencing joy. So I think for those who are hopeless, I would actually challenge them and ask, like, where is your faith and hope? Where's the source? Where is that lying? And it's a really difficult thing to do. And it requires us to really confront whether we've turned our goals and the achievement of our goals into idols. Yeah. But I think it's actually important for us to uproot that now, especially when we have the capacity to, so that we don't live a life waiting to be happy, waiting to be fulfilled, waiting to have joy. Life is meant to be lived, and joy is a daily thing. Happiness is something that can be pursued on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And your joy, happiness, and fulfillment doesn't need to be attached to specific goals that we have in our lives. So I would definitely say, like, think about really reorienting your perspective and understanding, where is my happiness? Where is my joy? Where is my faith? Thanks. Is it in these goals, or is it in the process? Is it in the fact that I actually get to live out my life on a day-to-day basis? Are there other things that I can occupy my time with? Are there other things that are also worthy of my pursuit that I actually should put more energy towards? Yeah. Are there things in my life that I can also be grateful for as well? Because I think sometimes as we are in pursuit of something, or as we are in waiting, or as we're being patient, we can be so tunnel visioned on what we're about to achieve that we forget about all of the things that we currently have, all of the things that we have achieved, the friends that we have, the families, the relationships that we've actually cultivated already, the things that we've been able to achieve in our careers or in our relationships so far. gratitude, like really expressing and really experiencing gratitude yeah. and having it as an intentional thing that we do on a day-to-day basis can be so, so helpful in just making sure that our faith, happiness, and fulfillment is rooted in the right thing. And then the second thing that I would say to that is, as we were saying earlier about timelines, yes, you have waited a long time, but it's only a long time right now. And it doesn't mean that these things won't ever happen. It just means that it's not going to happen for you right now. And that's okay, being okay with the fact that life comes in its ebbs and in its flows. Sometimes the thing that it's funny because oftentimes you'll be waiting for something to fulfill you. The thing will come and you realize, it doesn't give me the fulfillment that I thought it was going to give me. You know, when waiting for that relationship, I get into my 30s or 40s or whatever, and I realize as much as I love this person and as much as this has added so much flavor and excitement to my life, there's still much to go. There's still things that I can be occupying my time with. There's still things that I really want to achieve. In the same way that, you know, some people will have like kids, and don't get them wrong, they love their kids, they adore them, and it does give them a sense of fulfillment, but they realize, this doesn't give me the complete holistic fulfillment that I was expecting it to give me anyways. Yeah. So managing our expectations around achieving goals, but really understanding that things don't have to happen straight away. And as long as you have been waiting, I promise you, once you get what you have been hoping for, it will actually be worth the wait. That's right. Why when we, especially in the context of relationships are probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest investment that you can have in your life. Biggest investment. The people that you have around you, I cannot stress how much they are pivotal and crucial to the progression of your life. It is better for you to wait. Listen, I would rather wait years for the right person to come along than for the wrong person to come quickly. Because I'm not one of those people that believe, your destiny is scuppered because you are with this wrong person at ETC. No. But as you were saying so perfectly before, detours. You cannot afford detours now. It's better for you to wait a little, what you feel like is long, than to have to wait longer because you've taken a detour, and then it actually has to take you more time to get back onto the main road because you have to go through all of this healing. You have to go through all of this overcoming. How many of us listening into this episode, this podcast, how many times do we get dilemmas or even conversations between us, right, of women that have taken detours in their lives and are now having to go on this intentional pursuit of healing and wholeness before they pursue their goals. Right. So for those of you that are waiting and are kind of over it and almost feel hopeless, have hope in the fact that you are currently on the main road. You're getting there in a straight line. You've already, you know, overcome for the majority of you. And those of you that are overcoming, those of you that are going on that journey of healing, kudos to you, sis. You're making progress towards that main road. But take solace in the fact that you are already in a very good position to get that which you are working towards, and that it is literally only a matter of time until it comes towards you. Are the two things that I would say.
Yeah, those were excellent. I think that's perfect encouragement for anyone waiting. And I think the only thing I would add is feeling as though your hope has been deferred, or like you're not attaining the thing that you've had all this patience for, can make you magnify what you don't have, when actually there is so much that you do have. There is so much that you have achieved, or so much that you have experienced, so many reasons to be joyful. And I think allowing yourself to actually focus on those things. Like, I'm not going to focus on the things that I don't have yet. I'm going to have hope that they will still come, and they will come in their time. But I'm also going to appreciate what I do have. I'm going to soak up this present moment. And I think impatience makes you live in the future. And it really robs you of the present joy that you have. So allow yourself to experience the joy that you have at hand. And I think the second thing is, sometimes patience requires a lot of strength. It requires a lot of strength for you to say, like, you know what, my life may not be where my life may not be where I want it to be yet, and I may not have hold of everything that I want. And I think it takes a lot of strength to then not start self-sabotaging, or like you were describing, going on detours, settling, no longer like not becoming bitter as well towards life for not giving you what it is that you want. I think it takes a lot of strength, and it is very commendable, but it also is a standard worth living up to, that actually I'm not going to live life angry at the fact that I have have not yet obtained what it is that I want. And I think reframing it as it's just a not yet. It's not that it will never happen. It's not that it's behind me. I have women around me, like you were describing, who are in their 40s, some are even their 50s, and they're like, you know what, I'm still shooting to have a kid. And it's like, you know what, it takes a lot of strength to still have hope and resilience in the face of what some people would say is like unfavorable circumstances. And so I think it's important to remind yourself that there is actually always hope. Yeah. There is always an opportunity to make something happen or to have it happen for you. And it may be unconventional. It may be later than you had planned. But when it happens, as long as you have endured, as long as you have been patient, as long as you have not settled and given in, it will be beautiful. And so allow yourself to experience those beautiful parts of life that come with you being intentional, that come with you still having hope for a good thing and not just a quick thing and not just anything, but actually a good thing. So yeah, I think it's challenging. Oh, it's tough, man. It really is challenging, but you'll get there. You will get there, and there will be happiness and there will be satisfaction. At least that's our prayer for you anyway. So just make sure that you're on the right path, and inevitably your steps will lead you to where it is you need to be. And that's it will all make sense once you actually get there. So yes, sis, we hope that this episode has actually been encouraging. We hope that it has been reassuring that actually being patient is worth it.
It is, man.
Patience is worth it. It is a virtue. And so be virtuous. Be virtuous. If you have any ideas, thoughts, feelings, drop them in the comments, as you guys know, here on YouTube or on Spotify. Shout out to Spotify for introducing that feature. I hope Apple Podcasts catch up. So yeah, make sure that you drop your comment. Let us know what it is you're thinking. Of course, you can share it on Instagram stories as well. Just tag us at To My Sisterhood. And you can also follow us individually on Instagram at Renee Kapuku, my lovely best friend, and at CD Boate.
Yes. And of course, if you want to stay up to date with all of the latest as it pertains to everything at TMSHQ, sign up to our weekly mailing list where we share our glowing and growing tips weekly. Don't miss up.
Yeah.
Don't mess up and don't miss out. www.tomysisters.com. The link will also be in the description, so make sure you check it out and sign up. Sisters, we pray that you have a phenomenal, excellent, wonderful, amazing week. Stay encouraged. Be encouraged whilst you're at it. If you haven't already, please go and subscribe to my besties YouTube channel. Please, thank you. Go and be encouraged. For more encouragement, go there. But until then, we will see you guys next week. Keep glowing and growing. Ciao, ciao.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.